Hi, I'm Changyan Lee from KAIST, and today I'm going to present our work on accurate latency-based congestion feedback for data centers. And this work is joint work with Chunjong Park, Su Moon, Dong Su Han from KAIST, and Kun Jiang from Intel Labs. So congestion control may be an outdated topic, and the word TCP may even sound boring to some of the people in this conference room, but let me assure you that this work is not going to be about yet another congestion control algorithm, but it's about another aspect of congestion control that hasn't been paid much attention in recent years. So since Jacobson's first TCP, there have been numerous congestion control algorithms proposed in the literature. And apart from the specific mechanism of each control algorithm, when we take a step back and think about the big picture of congestion control, then we can plot the network as a black box, and then we can somehow extract information on whether or how much the network is congested, and we can call that congestion feedback. And using this feedback, the control algorithm part decides what to do for the next round, and then it can react back to the network. In this flow, you can design as many control algorithms as possible, but the design space of such algorithm is fundamentally limited by the congestion feedback. So in fact, the performance of congestion control fundamentally depends on the congestion feedback. And the big jumps in the congestion control research have only been enabled by the development of new forms of congestion feedback, starting from packet loss, latency, available bandwidth, ECN, to even customized in-network feedback. Meanwhile, the advent of data center networks have pushed congestion control into more troubled situation and requires finer-grained congestion control than ever. In data center, the latency-sensitive flows are prevalent, such as partition-aggregated flows. And these flows are so sensitive to latency that in Amazon, every 100 millisecond response time slowdown is known to result in 1% drop in sales. To reduce the latency within data centers, it's important to reduce the queuing delay as it takes up the most part of the end-to-end latency in data center. And reducing queuing delay means having low variation in input load, and this can only be achieved by the fine-grained congestion control. And to design such fine-grained congestion control, it's out of question that we need an accurate and fine-grained congestion feedback. So to tackle the problem in data centers, there have been many solutions proposed starting from the pioneering work DCTCP in 2010. And the most popular congestion feedback used in this sort of work is ECN. ECN, explicit congestion notification, is a widely deployed switch function. With ECN, when a packet is going through a switch, the switch looks at the queue length, and if the queue length exceeds a predefined threshold, then it marks the packet with an ECN flag. And if the queue length doesn't exceed the predefined threshold, then it doesn't mark the packet. So in this way, ECN can detect congestion much earlier before the queue actually overflows. But it still provides very coarse-grained information whether the queue is over the limit or under the limit. So to overcome this granularity problem, DCTCP employs a technique to calculate the fraction of marked packets within a window. So for example, if the window size is 3 and if one packet is marked with ECN, then DCTCP decides that there is a 33% of chance of network congestion. And if two packets are marked, then it means that there is 66% of congestion probability. In this way, DCTCP advances the granularity of ECN feedback, but this modified use of ECN feedback still has problems. The granularity of congestion feedback, it heavily depends on the size of the window. So if the size of the window is too small, then you can have high granularity. And even though it infers the congestion probability, it's still an estimation of the network situation and it cannot mean the accurate network information. So in search for better network fit, better congestion feedback than ECN, some proposals have resorted to customized in-network feedback where you have to add customized switch function to the existing switches. And these solutions, while these solutions provide much better accuracy and granularity, but the problem here is it's hard to deploy than the end-to-end based congestion feedback like ECN. So in this work, our proposal is using latency feedback. So network latency inherently is a good indicator of congestion. So increased latency means increased congestion in the network, and latency measurements are innately fine-grained. But we are not the first one to propose using latency feedback in congestion control. As you all know, latency congestion feedback has a long history from CARD, DUAL, and the popular TCP Vegas. And in these sort of algorithms, the used feedback was RTT measured in TCP stack. So in this work, we revisit the latency feedback for the use in data center networks. So the first question we would like to ask is, can we reuse the same latency feedback from TCP Vegas, which was RTT measured in TCP stack? The answer is not that simple because we have more challenges in latency feedback in data center. So in data center, the network latency changes in very small time scale of microsecond, and it's mainly due to the high link speed. So in data center, the bottleneck link speed of end-to-end network path is usually as high as 10 gigabit per second, whereas in wide area, the bottleneck link speed is usually go up to 100 megabit per second or even lower. And in this link speed, the transmission delay is very small, as for one MTU packet at 10G link, it only takes 1.2 microseconds for transmission. So in this scale, the challenge is to differentiate network latency change from other noise. And it can only be enabled by measuring network latency accurately in microsecond scale. So before we seek for accurate measurement methodology, we first look at how far the traditional RTT measurement in stack is from the ideal. So we test whether RTT measured in TCP stack can indicate the congestion in the network in data center environment. And we first evaluate the case of no congestion, which means that if we measure RTT, then the measured RTT value should have all the same. So in this experiment, we simply have one sender and one receiver connected back-to-back with 10G link. But surprisingly, the RTT samples collected from this experiment shows a significant variation as the RTT spans from 20 microseconds to 700 microseconds. And this variation can be attributed to about 600 packets at 10G, so it can misinform the senders about network congestion to a great extent. So why is this TCP stack measurement so unreliable? We have identified the sources of errors in RTT measurement, and in this talk, I'm going to cover the first two ones, and please refer to our paper for the rest of the ones. So the first source of error was end-to-end end-node stack delay. To measure RTT between nodes, we need two timestamps from data and ACK packets, and traditional stack measurement generates this timestamp in the kernel, so these timestamps include end-node stack delay, such as packet input I/O, a packet I/O, and stack processing and interrupt handling. So the RTT measurement performed in kernel is affected by the host delay jitter. So to remove the stack delay, and now we focus on the sender size, we come up with two solutions. And the first solution is purely software-based driver-level timestamping. So instead of timestamping packets in the network stack, we now timestamp packets in driver-level, and to implement driver-level timestamping, we use Softnik, an Intel DPDK-based packet processing platform. By moving down the timestamping module to driver level, we can effectively remove the delay jitter caused from the network stack. And the second solution we have is hardware-based timestamping, which is done in network interface card. So modern NICs now support hardware timestamping for time synchronization purpose. And to implement timestamping in network interface cards, we use Mellanox ConnectX 3 NIC, and we modify the driver to timestamp all the incoming and outgoing packets through NIC. And let's think about the receiver side. So we still have the delay jitter from the receiver side. And to solve this problem, we now timestamp the packets also at the receiver. So now when in RTT calculation, we have four timestamps. And by removing the kernel delay of receiver, we can now effectively extract only the network delay out of the RTT measurement. The second source of error is the bursty timestamps from I/O batching. So when packets are delivered from the stack to the lower level, they come in a batch, which makes the timestamping module to timestamp each packet with almost the same timestamp value. On the other hand, when these packets are transmitted through NIC, the situation is different, as each packet takes at least a transmission delay time to get onto the network wire. So these packets in a batch should have at least a link transmission delay away from each other to reflect the actual sending time, but the bursty timestamp in the kernel doesn't reflect that information. So remove the bursty timestamps, we paste the packets to reflect link speed before timestamping. We implement this by maintaining a separate queue that absorbs packet from the network stack and then paste the packets with an appropriate packet interval time. And surprisingly, even NIC timestamps have bursty timestamp problems. So we looked into the problem and we found that the NIC timestamping doesn't perform timestamping at the actual sending or receiving time, but it rather timestamps packets after DMA completion, and it can be done in multiple packets at the same time. So to solve this problem, we calibrate the timestamps based on the link transmission delay. For example, there are two timestamps, T1 and T2, and T2, it doesn't make sense that T2 is transmitted before the completion of T1. So in this case, we insert additional delay to T2 so that T1 and T2 can have a transmission delay away from each other. Finally, after applying all our techniques, we evaluate the accuracy of our measurement techniques. And the performance metric we use here is the standard deviation. So the leftmost bar graph shows the traditional kernel measurement, and it has 80 microseconds of standard deviation. And as soon as we apply driver-level timestamping, as shown as DPDK, the standard deviation drops down to 50 microseconds. And after applying burst control and calibration, in software-based approach, our best standard deviation is about 2 microseconds in software. And when we use NIC timestamping, it goes even further down to 500 nanoseconds, so the accuracy of our measurement technique is sub-microsecond scale. Now that we have accurate measurement technique, the next question is, can we measure accurate queuing delay, which is a direct indicator of network congestion? So queuing delay can be calculated from RTT measurements as current RTT minus base RTT. The current RTT is the RTT sample from the current data and ACK pair, and the base RTT is the RTT measured without congestion, so the minimum observed value during the experiment. So we come up with a simple experiment that a sender generates 1 gigabit per second traffic to a receiver so that the link is saturated, but at this point, there is no network congestion. And there comes the sender 2, and it adds congestion to the network by adding ping packet every 25 milliseconds. And in this setting, we measure queuing delay from sender 1, and we also measure the ground truth queue length from switch. And in result, the red dots show the ground truth from switch, and before the ping starts, the queuing delay remains zero because there is no network congestion. And as soon as the ping starts, the network congestion level is increased by 1 MTU packet amount of time, which is 12 microseconds in this case. And in blue line, which is the queuing delay measurement from sender 1, it matches with the ground truth, and we can say that our delay measurement is accurately reflecting the ground truth switch queue length. So having this accurate latency congestion feedback, we have to come up with a new algorithm that can benefit from this feedback. And in this work, we propose a simple latency-based congestion control, which is named DX. And the goal of DX is to minimize queuing delay while fully utilizing the link, which is a primary concern in data center networks. And DX behavior is very straightforward. When you have queuing delay of zero, it means that there is no network congestion, so we can increase the window size. And if there is a positive queuing delay, then we need to decrease window size to relieve the network congestion. But the main question here is how much should we increase or decrease? So we simply employ the popular AIMD rule from previous TCPs. So for AI part, we increase one packet per RTT, and for MD part, we decrease the window proportional to the queuing delay. So the challenge lies in the decrease part, as how can we keep 100% utilization even after decreasing window? So to realize this, we need to calculate the exact amount of window size that can saturate the link without queuing. And to do so, we come up with a normalizer parameter V here, and the derivation of V can be found in our paper. And in this talk, I'll just give a high-level explanation of the challenge and our approach in solving V. So here is the example scenario. There are four senders sharing a bottleneck link to a receiver, and you can see that there is a network congestion as the switch queue has four packets queued. Since each node sees a positive queuing delay, the nodes need to decrease the window here. But let's think about it with the sender 1's view. So the sender 1 has no idea how many nodes are sharing the bottleneck link with him. So he needs to figure out how much congestion am I responsible for. And to solve this problem, we come up with a simple assumption that other senders also have the same window size of the sender 1. And by doing this, we can calculate the new window size only from link capacity, RTT, and current window size. Again, the detailed formula and derivation for this part is in our paper. So we implement the timestamping part and DX part, and the timestamping module was implemented in SoftNIC. It includes RTT and queuing delay calculation and burst timestamp calibration. And we implement DX in Linux kernel, and we only add 200 lines of code in TCP ACK function. And we also use a TCP option header for storing timestamps. So for evaluation, we have two main parts. The first one is testbed experiment for small scale, and the second one is NS2 simulation for large scale. For testbed experiment, we connect two senders to a switch and one receiver to a switch, and we generate DX traffic to fully utilize the link with fair share throughput. And we repeat the same experiment with DC-TCP for comparison. I first show the result at 1G. So at 1G, DX can achieve 5.3 times less median queuing delay than DC-TCP, and it can be done only by the software level timestamping. And at 10G, we also include the hardware level timestamping DX, and it shows that with more accurate congestion feedback with hardware, it can outperform the software DX, and it outperforms DC-TCP by 1.5 times. Finally, we have large-scale simulation with the empirical data center workload. We have a three-tiered FAT tree, and we use the workload from production data center reported in previous research paper. And we measure the flow completion time of the flows, and we categorize the flows into four flow size groups. And in this talk, I'm presenting the two groups. So the first group is the smallest flows from 0 kilobyte to 10 kilobytes. And we see that DX achieves 6 times better flow completion time in 99th percentile. And in average, it achieves 2.6 faster flow completion time. And the next flow size group is the largest group, which is over 10 megabytes. And DX has slightly slower flow completion time than DC-TCP due to the occasional utilization drop during the simulation. And we are looking into this problem and leave this as one of our future work. So to conclude my talk, the quality of congestion feedback fundamentally governs the performance of congestion control. And in this work, to use in data center, we propose latency feedback with software-based and hardware-based timestamping techniques. And finally, we developed DX to show the benefits from the accurate latency feedback and show we outperform DC-TCP at 1G and 10G. Thank you for listening to my talk, and I'll be happy to take questions.
Very good work, Wenji from Fermilab. I have a question here. And in high-speed networks, the time clock, yeah, the clock resolution, it will be a big issue.
Yes.
So in 40 gig, 100 gig, how can you measure the to that level's resolution granularities?
So are you asking about time resolution or resolution?
Yeah.
So the time resolution depends on the timestamping functions that we use. And for software level, we use the timestamp function in DPDK. And for hardware level, we rely on the hardware timestamping from Mellanox NIC. So it gives us in, I remember, in case of hardware, we have tens of nanosecond of time resolution. So it doesn't really make us a problem when we have 10 gigabit per second link, but maybe even higher link, you need more resolution for timestamping.
Okay, another question is, yeah, if you use systems timestamp, the time source and the unique time source, they're two different time sources. Mm. So if they are not synchronized, is that be an issue?
So that's a great question. So when you measure RTT, when you can think about it, the two timestamps are all measured at the sender node. So in this case, there is no time synchronization issue. But in our paper, we also implement one-way delay-based DX. And in this case, time synchronization may be an issue. But to work around the problem, we come up with calculating one-way queuing delay without time synchronization. And it's in our paper. And I can discuss in more detail.
Yeah. Hi. So Justin Kapos, NYU. Yep. So I just have kind of a curiosity question here.
Sure.
So when you wanted to do a larger scale analysis of this, why didn't you use something like Genie? Why NS2 is just out of curiosity?
What's the other tool you mentioned?
Genie.
Genie. Genie.
Or MULab or.
Oh, I see.
I'm just curious.
So we picked NS2 because I was familiar with the tool, and I'm not sure if I know about the tool you mentioned, but I don't think any disadvantage coming from NS2 for large scale simulation.
Okay, we can talk about it offline.
Okay, thanks.
I also have one question. When you pace packets to unbatch them, did you observe any kind of adverse effects with other pieces of the hardware, say TCP segmentation offload that kind of rely on the packets to be close together?
So when we paste packets, we didn't do it in an individual packet level. So even after pasting packets, we still have a batch of packets. And with the segmentation offload function, we still achieve high utilization, and we didn't see any side effect coming from our pacing part.